Amen. Why don't you go ahead and grab a seat just for a few moments? We are here, church family, to celebrate Jesus. Amen. And we are here to celebrate not just in some general way, but we are here to declare, and I want you to join me in this declaration, that Jesus is greater. That Jesus is greater than your highest high. Jesus is greater than your lowest low. Do you believe that this morning? My prayer is that you really do. My prayer is that you can make that as a declaration from your heart. Jesus, you are greater. I pray that you can declare that Jesus is greater than your circumstances. I mean, after all, Jesus is the one who calms the storm, right? And so whatever storm has blown into your life, the fact is Jesus alone is the one who can calm that storm. He is greater than your circumstances. He's greater than your temptations. He's greater than your fears. I mean, think about how the Bible says that he who is within us is greater than he who is within the world. It says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Whatever it is that you are trembling before this day, Jesus is greater than your fears. Jesus is greater than our enemy, Satan. And I just want us to declare, not just celebrate, not just sing about it, but make it as a declaration of our heart this morning. Jesus is greater. Would you just make that declaration with me? Let's just declare that together. Jesus is greater. See, in Jesus Christ, we have victory, right? In Jesus Christ, we have read the end of the story, and we know how the story ends. It ends with Satan in hell and with us in heaven. Jesus is greater. But here's the thing that I want you to understand. Jesus is our sole source of victory. Jesus is greater, but if you want in on that which Jesus is so great about, you and I have to be connected to Jesus. He is the sole source of our victory. Listen to this declaration out of the book of Revelation in chapter 12, verse 11. It says this, "And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death." Think about what that's saying. Here's the reality. In Revelation chapter 12, it declares unequivocally that Satan is our enemy. Revelation chapter 12 tells the story of how Satan rebelled against God in heaven. He declared war on God. He wanted to usurp God. He wanted all of creation to worship him instead of God. Revelation 12 tells how God defeated Satan and cast him out of heaven along with all of his followers. And then it tells how Satan here on earth is continuing his war against God by attacking God's children. That's you and me. If you're a parent, you get that. How if you want to hurt someone, you don't even have to attack them directly. All you've got to do is go after their kids, right? Can any parents say amen to that? I remember when our sweet angels, who are still angels, were in school, one of them was falsely accused of doing something wrong. Can you imagine that? Somebody accused one of my kids of doing something wrong, and they were unjustly criticized and unjustly punished. And you've heard the saying, Mama Bear. I want to tell you, you've heard me say it all the time. Kim is the nicest person I know. But if you ever want to see her fangs, her claws come out, all you got to do is attack one of her kids. Mama Bear is not just a saying, it's a reality. And if mamas are bears, then we could say dads are fire-breathing dragons, right? So when our kid was unjustly accused and unjustly punished, I mean, I did what any good self-respecting Christian father would do, right? Kim and I went up to the school, met with the administrator, and we gave them a piece of our mind. Only to find out at a later time that our dear angel, who is still an angel and who is still totally innocent, was actually involved on the periphery of the wrongdoing. No. Still pure as the driven snow, but just a little bit guilty. And God convicted us both. We had to go back to the same administrator and actually apologize. But here's the reality. If you're a parent, you know. You want to get at someone? You just attack their kids. And do you realize that's what Satan is doing? Right now, he is declaring war on God by declaring war on you and me and every other follower of Jesus. Satan attacks us and steals and kills and destroys to get at God. Revelation 12 tells us this. Satan is our enemy, but it also tells us something that's way, way more important than that. It tells us that Jesus is greater. Look again at the verse. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Do you know the context in Revelation chapter 12? Most scholars believe is actually the great tribulation, a time when Satan knows that his days are numbered, a time when he begins to just throw everything but the kitchen sink at God's children, a time when persecution will be incredibly intense against all followers of Jesus. And yet, even in times of great persecution, here's what Jesus teaches us in Revelation chapter 12. Jesus is greater even than the persecution we face. Jesus teaches us that we conquer through the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. What is the blood of the Lamb talking about? It's talking about the death of Jesus on the cross. It's talking about salvation in Jesus. It's talking about what Jesus did for us when he went to the cross. The wages of sin is death. God is committed to destroying sin. Sin is not going to exist in heaven in eternity. And so he is going to destroy sin. And the wages of sin is death. And Jesus on the cross took your sin and my sin and experienced death in our place. The blood of the Lamb, he shed his blood as payment for our sin. But notice as well, we conquer through the word of our testimony. What is that talking about? It's talking about our testimony that Jesus is Lord, our testimony that many are going to be making in these baptismal waters here in just a moment, that Jesus is Lord, Jesus is King, Jesus is my Savior. We conquer through the blood of the Lamb and through the word of our testimony that Jesus Christ is Lord of lords and King of kings, and he is my Savior. Oh, listen to me. Satan can attack you, and he does. But Jesus is greater, because Satan can only harm your body, but he cannot touch your soul. The Bible says very clearly, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here's the reality. Your soul is bulletproof in Jesus. And so here's what I want you to get this morning. Jesus is better. Jesus is greater than your highest high, and he is greater than your lowest lows. Some of you have come here this morning, and the truth is, you didn't want to tell anyone, and you're smiling, and you're putting on a happy face, but the truth is, you're going through a very low time in your life. For some of you, it may be some sin that you just can't shake, or others of you, it's a relationship that is broken and you just can't fix. For others, it's a money issue that you just can't afford. For others of you, it is a low, low time because of a health crisis for which there is no cure. And yet, in the midst of the lowest times, here's what Jesus teaches us in Revelation 12. He is greater than even your lowest lows because of the future that he has promised to you and me. It says in another passage, for this light, momentary affliction. Can you believe that? God's speaks to those who are going through the lowest low, and he says, hey, can I just be honest with you? This is a light, momentary affliction. And I know some of you are going, well, it doesn't feel like a light, momentary affliction. But Jesus says, oh, in comparison to the eternal glory that is coming, for this light, momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Jesus said, here's what I want you to understand. When you're going through your lowest low is a light, momentary affliction compared to the eternal weight of glory that God has waiting for you, the future that God has for you. Here is the reality. When you compare momentary affliction versus eternal life with Jesus in heaven. It's not comparing apples to oranges. It's comparing a single drop of water to the vastness of the oceans that cover this planet. He said, he's greater than your lowest low because of the future that he has provided for you and the forgiveness that he has given you. I love that song that says, grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all my sin. Jesus is greater. He's greater than your lowest low, but listen to me, you've got to get this as well. Jesus really is greater than your highest high. The truth is, some of you came here this morning and life is just going good. There's nothing wrong with that. Celebrate that. Thank the Lord for that. But the reality is everything is just going well in your life. Maybe you're engaged finally and you are so excited about your engagement. Maybe your marriage is in a really, really good place. Maybe it's that you're pregnant and you've been desiring to be pregnant for a long, long time. Maybe it's that your kids are in a good school and a good spot. And you just feel good about this school year. Maybe it's that you've got a great job. Maybe it's that you have your health. But the reality, some of you right now, you are experiencing one of the highest highs. And here's what Jesus says. He's greater than your highest high. I say this often in funerals that I preach. Very few people actually want to go to heaven. And most think, you're crazy, preacher. No. Really, honestly, most people that I know, very few people actually want to go to heaven. We just think hell sounds really bad, so we prefer heaven as an alternative. But most of us think of heaven as a boring place, right? Floating on clouds, disembodied spirit. Let's take up holy, holy, holy for the 8 billionth time. And we're thinking, man, that's not gonna be that much fun. But here's the reality. Heaven is beyond our ability to comprehend it. Jesus is greater than your highest high. What Jesus has in store for you is so much better than what you're experiencing right now. Did you know this world is just a shadow of the world that is to come? We're gonna live with Jesus in a new heaven. And don't think heaven as this place out there where we're a disembodied spirit. Think of heaven as the heavens above and the vastness of the universe. And we're gonna live with Jesus on a new earth. That means either he's gonna remake this earth or he's gonna roll it up like a scroll and remake another earth. Either way, this earth is just a shadow of the earth that is to come, but it is a shadow. It gives us a glimpse. I want you to think of the new earth as the Colorado Rockies on steroids. Think of the Garden of Eden spread over the whole earth. Think of a place with no weeds. You'll plant a garden and never have to pull a single weed. Won't that be amazing? And get this, no mosquitoes. And if there are mosquitoes, they will be saved mosquitoes and they won't bite anyone. Think of a heaven where you have a physical body, where you get to ski in Breckenridge. But remember, it's a Breckenridge on steroids. And the best of all in heaven is you're doing life with Jesus, the one who loves you unconditionally. And think about this. In heaven, you're going to be perfect as Jesus is perfect. You're going to be holy as Jesus is holy. Here is the reality. You're going to be lovable in heaven because you're going to be the best version of you that you can possibly be. You're actually going to be a better version of you than you've ever dreamed you could be because you're going to be perfect in heaven and it's going to be easy to love you in heaven. Jesus is greater than your lowest low, and he's greater than your highest high. This morning, we want you to hear a testimony of that very truth. Jesus is greater than any circumstance of our life. Listen to this testimony.
My name is Madison McClendon, and I have the honor of serving as the Associate Student Pastor here at The Heights. A while back at the end of summer, we had our Serve Dallas mission trip. And if you don't know what that is our in-city mission trip, and it's open to our entire student ministry. God's just been really faithful to show up at Serve Dallas over the years. So every summer, our student ministry really, really looks forward to Serve Dallas. And the summer was no different. We did our entire first day of this mission trip before some complications with COVID and other things forced us to send everyone home. And it was one of those moments where we had to kind of look at each other and each be the people reminding our team that, you know, God's got a plan. We don't know it, but surely there is a plan. And so what we did instead is we pivoted and we invited the students who had come to serve Dallas and just the students in general to come be a part of these worship nights. Our worship team was awesome and they helped us lead out on some worship. We had teaching and we just had time and space for kids to pray and to worship, and our kids really rose to the occasion. We saw God do some miraculous things that night, and so we wanted to take some time to tell you one of those stories today. It's the story of a girl named Charity Brewer, somebody that we've been praying for a long time. We have been asking God to change her heart and to chase her down and to convince her that he loved her. She was in my small group and we were talking, and I asked her, what's the craziest thing you could imagine God doing this year? And she said, I just want to feel loved. And I said, great news, God's in the business of making people feel loved. And I said, Charity, I think God's chasing you down.
Hi, my name is Charity Brewer, and I would like to tell you how I met God. I was at Serve Dallas because of Lizzie and Sylvia, Katie Rose and Sahara, those four people. Even though we didn't get to finish Serve Dallas, we got to finish it in the brick. I was standing by the door because I didn't know what everybody was doing. Like, we were just about to start. It was getting, you know, loud. I don't like loud. I didn't want to really stay. So I left. My dad came and picked me up, right? Got in the car. He was just like, did you want to stay? I was like, yeah, I did, but something told me to leave. Something also told me to go back. Turned the car back around, walked back downstairs to the brick. As soon as I came down here, Madison was standing right there waiting on me. And I was just like, that's weird. Mentally, I was going through a lot. Like, a lot. And I don't know, like at that point, it was just like me breaking, and I heard a voice. It's like, come on, you can do it. Let's go. You got it. Come on. And I was just like, okay. I'm just gonna let it all go. Here we go. And it just said it. I was like, I surrender. And yell and scream. And I was just like, okay. Yes, yes.
Charity's story is one of the many stories from those nights that just has encouraged us and reminded our team over and over again of the truth that in spite of all of our planning and all of our best efforts, God's greater than the best thing we could plan. What Charity didn't tell you is that later that night, she had the opportunity to pray with two other girls who were making that same decision to give their life to the Lord. And it was one of those moments that we all got to watch and cry together and see God work more powerfully through canceled plans and through disappointment, through frustration than any other moment in my ministry.
Isn't that incredible? Absolutely incredible. I know at the beginning of that video, Madison's voice was kind of cut off, wasn't on very good. But what she was saying was that this event happened at Serve Dallas. And Serve Dallas is just simply a local mission trip that our students do every year. They look forward to it. It is the highlight of the year for many in student ministry. And because of some COVID issues, we were 24 hours in to Serve Dallas, and we had to send everybody home. But we pivoted, and were able to do some worship services at the church instead. And here we are this whole week of Serve Dallas, planning to harness our students to bring the gospel to those in the community. But God had different plans for us. And God showed up in a great, great way at Serve Dallas. And you heard Charity's story. She came to faith because God was greater in her life. And I wonder about you. And I want you just to think just for a moment. Think about way back when for some of you, maybe last year for others, but I want you to think about you personally, your story, your testimony, your relationship with the Lord, the moment you screamed out, I surrender all. But when was that for you? When was the time in your life that you understood for the very first time that Jesus is greater? He's greater than my disappointment. He's greater than my own dreams. He's greater than my desires. He's greater than any curveballs that are thrown. He's greater than any tragedy. Jesus is greater. And what I want you to do is I just want you to think about, and you may not remember the actual day, but I want you to think about, was that realization for you, was that on a Monday or a Tuesday or a Wednesday? Just go down the rest of the week. What day of the week was it that you discovered that Jesus is greater? And I want you to lock that in your mind. And you're like, oh my goodness, Richard, I can't remember that. Well, just pick one. Just pick one. Mine was Wednesday. Just, I just want you to have that in your mind for a moment. Now, you may be sitting there and you may be, well, you know, I don't know if I have that story. I don't know if I fully understand or realize when Jesus was greater like you're talking about. And for you, I just simply want you to know, man, there is a real kingdom and there is a real king, and his name is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, he understands this brokenness that you experience, this pain that you feel. And God saw that, and God sent Jesus Christ to this earth. Jesus lived a perfect life. He never sinned so that he could be a substitute for you. Because you see that the scripture teaches us that because of our sin, the penalty is death. But Jesus says, not so fast, because I'm gonna take that upon myself. And so Jesus, this king, he came to this earth and he died a horrible death, the worst you could imagine. But he rose again, glorious and victorious. And so that if we put our faith and trust in him, if we simply make the decision to say, Jesus, I know you did this for me. And if you repent of your sins and say, I'm just giving my life to you, and you believe in him that he died on the cross and that he died for you, and if you make a decision to follow him, you can have that same realization that Jesus is absolutely greater. And you can have a time, even today at the ballpark on a Sunday, where you can say, I realize Jesus was greater and he saved me today. And if that's you, man, we would absolutely love to talk about you. You heard Charity's story. You're about to see a whole bunch of people. You can see them getting lined up back there to get baptized. And they're about to declare to you, and they're about to scream to you, Jesus is greater. But what about you? I wonder if it was on a Monday that you understood Jesus is greater and you gave your life to him. Will you just stand up if it was on a Monday? How about a Tuesday? If it was on a Tuesday, would you just stand up? How about a Wednesday? I'm standing. Mine was a Wednesday. How about a Wednesday? If you knew on a Wednesday that Jesus was greater, would you just stand up? How about on a Thursday? If you came to faith on a Thursday, will you just stand up? What about a Friday? What about a Saturday? What about a Sunday? It was Sunday that you realized that Jesus was greater than everything else. Now listen to me. If you're standing, you know what that means? That means God has sent you, that you have a responsibility and that you have a task. Because this testimony that he gave us, it was never meant to be a secret. Never. It was meant for us to take that and to show the world by how we live our lives and the words that we say that Jesus is greater than everything. And so I'm gonna ask you, I'm about to pray and we're gonna sing and then we're gonna see some baptisms and it's gonna be incredible. But I'm about to pray and I just wanna ask you, will you just let this prayer be a reminder and be a resolution to you that you are gonna live your life, you are gonna speak your words like he's greater. You're gonna live it out. And if you're here and that's not your story, man, you could find anybody that has a Heights shirt on and you could talk to them. We would love to have a conversation with you. I'll be around all afternoon. Come find me. I have the bald head, all right? Just come find me. I would love to talk to you. The fact that Jesus is greater. Will you pray? Father, we recognize you in this place that you are greater. Jesus, we recognize in this place that you came and you died for us. And Father, that through that you've given us salvation and you've given us an ability to have a relationship with you that will last an eternity. But Father, you've never asked us to hide that under a rock. You've never asked us to be silent about that. So Father, would you give us opportunities this week to speak about how great you are? Give us opportunities in our words, in our conversations, to be able to speak your name. The scripture says there's power in the name of Jesus, and may we not ever be afraid to mention your name. And Father, may we also be able to live a life that screams you as well. Live a life that looks countercultural. Live a life that points people directly to you. So Father, I just commission these folks that they may live out their calling and their testimony this week. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.